Hello and welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and you can hear us live at accesssacramento.org, or you can hear this program and past programs at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com. Today's program is from the Peter B. Collins Show and includes Obama's positions on torture, Ted Rawls' Anti-American Manifesto, and William Durst. Jason Leopold talks about Obama's contradictory positions on torture. Peter B. Collins talks about his memo to Obama. Ted Rawls talks about his new book, Anti-American Manifesto, and William Durst on Democratic whiners.
And I'd like to warn you that today's podcast includes episodes of anger. And I have my own set of righteous indignation to pass along. I've been sick for the last week or so, and I had time on my hands, sometimes in the middle of the night. And I just started keeping a list. Because I'm angry at President Obama and his Vice President Biden for calling me out as the professional left, as a whiner, because I have issues with the work of this administration. And it turned into a 14-point statement, a memo, and it starts with, "I'll stop whining when." And I'm going to share that with you in the second segment of today's podcast. Third segment, Ted Rawls. He's a fascinating guy, a very smart man. He's a cartoonist, a columnist. He's traveled to Afghanistan several times. And he's written the Anti-American Manifesto, just published this week. And he makes a strong case that our corporatist pseudo-democracy is broken. And he says that it's time to consider revolution. Well, you'll hear our discussion about that a little bit later on. And also Will Durst, our comedian, satirist, contributor, has a piece that you'll hear. He's a little easier on Obama and Biden than I am, but it is interesting and amusing nonetheless. We start today with Jason Leopold, deputy managing editor at truthout.org and a good friend of the Peter B. Collins Show. He's angry, and he wrote a piece. I'm sorry, Jason, I didn't have you faded up there. Did you say?
Apologies for that.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say hello, and it's good to be back with you.
Well?
And I'm angry.
Well, last week, I think listeners know that one of my media habits is that I record the PBS NewsHour, and I watch it almost daily because it is, for worse, it's not better, but for worse, the best long-form news program in the country. They leave a lot out. They have all the usual suspects, the Washington insiders, and their idea of balance is to offer a neoconservative with a conservative. And that they sometimes have somebody who might be called a centrist, but never a left view, is permitted. And I was just floored, Jason, and you reflected it in a piece that you published at Truth Out on the 1st of October. But the administration, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, issued a series of statements last week saying that we're going to target Iran because of their violations of human rights. And when I heard Secretary Clinton speak, I was just screaming at my television set, because what she said was is that we are going to sanction 8 individuals in the Iranian government because they tortured, abused, and held without charge a group of individuals following the contested election or re-election of Ahmadinejad last summer. And you start off, and I'd like to read your first paragraph here, because when I read it, it really connected with my emotions. You write, "This week, in a burst of stunning hypocrisy, President Barack Obama signed an executive order that imposes sanctions on Iran for human rights abuses and targets 8 Iranian government and military officials who are blamed for the torture, abuse, and murder of citizens who protested Iran's 2009 presidential election." And the White House statement, followed by the State Department's announcement, and then the public statements by Hillary Clinton, are deeply offensive. Tell me why you feel that way, and then I'll join
in. Well, you know, each and every and I mean each and everything, or claim human rights violation that the State Department described, that Hillary Clinton discussed, that perhaps even Timothy Geithner, who was part of the news conference, talked about as well. Each and everything was committed by the Bush administration, was actually, they are responsible for the exact same, you know, abuses, human rights violations, including murder.
Yeah.
And in the story that I wrote, I mean, I link to each and every, you know, allegation. I mean, it's just, it's as if we have not only whitewashed the past, we have just, you know, have lobotomized ourselves to, you know, or at least, you know, some people in government to the point where they won't even acknowledge that it exists.
Well, and it's so interesting because, Jason, as you know, I'm one of those people they call a truther. I don't believe what we've been told in the official story of 9/11, and I think the 9/11 Commission was a badly scripted cover-up. But when Ahmadinejad came for the UN General Assembly meeting, he launched a broadside against the United States and leveled the charge. And I don't welcome his commentary on this. It's not helpful to anybody. But he said that, you know, he believes that the U.S. government was complicit in the 9/11 attacks.
Right.
And President Obama said that this is deeply offensive and went on television the next morning to respond. And when you see this, even if you believe the official story or you think that all truthers are nuts, you can see that we have compromised our moral position. And that when we criticize Iran for wanting to have a nuclear weapon like we do, for abusing people like we've done, and then the president has this deep indignation when Ahmadinejad joins in a chorus that already exists in the United States. And this creates an untenable situation because the charges and countercharges will continue to fly, and we have no defense.
Right.
Obama's lamest defense is, well, I don't torture the way Bush did. But Guantanamo hasn't been closed. We know there are secret prisons in Afghanistan where people who weren't even picked up in Afghanistan are being detained. And so we have no moral high ground whatsoever. And Obama is pretending that he does.
Right, yeah. He definitely is. In fact, you know, I also discussed this in the article. He spoke about, you know, he was interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine, a very lengthy interview, and some of the things that came up related to civil liberties and campaign promises that he was unable to fulfill, such as shutting down Guantanamo. And he blamed that, which is actually not true entirely, he blamed it on Republicans, the fact that Republicans would not fund his efforts to shut down Guantanamo. Actually, it was, you know, Democrats, let's remember they're the majority there,
yeah,
who would not fund the efforts to shut down Guantanamo. But in the same breath, he was saying, but what I have been able to do is I've been able to ban torture. Well, you know, Peter, actually, torture is an international and is a violation of international and domestic law. And, Obama did not ban torture. That was already banned. What Obama came in and did is that he said that we won't be using any more of these, you know, techniques, torture techniques. But at the same time, you know, the fact that he said torture, he actually says the word torture, he's under obligation now to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting back to, you know, to what you were saying earlier with regard to, you know, his response, I think that, you know, what I will say is that you know, it's not a surprise that, you know, that was it, you know, his reaction would be a terrible thing to say. I think he would. I think this administration really has no time or desire or interest to address any of these, you know, longstanding concerns. Look, I had a conversation earlier with a colleague about a story I had written several months back about Abu Zubaydah, first high-value detainee,
right,
and the fact that he was also described as one of the planners of 9/11 in one of the torture memos. He is included in the 9/11 Commission report as being one of the architects behind every major terrorist attack in Africa and other places, in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Justice Department literally recanted pretty much every major claim they ever made about him. That about Zubeda, that is. I mean, they literally said that everything that we had said previously, for the most part, we no longer stand behind. So that does call into question. I mean, one thing I will say in terms of the 9/11 Commission report is that it does call into question. It doesn't even call into question. Actually, debunks their narrative. So certainly, there's room for criticism that should warrant a response, particularly from people like Barack Obama. So when you see him and his administration and out there, talking about enemy states committing violating human rights of its own citizens, the country's own citizens, and literally identifying 8 individuals, I just don't know how anyone in the world can actually take it seriously. I think it would have been funny, and not necessarily in a ha-ha way, but funny if Ahmadinejad would have responded to to this by saying, "I prefer to look forward, not backward."
Yeah. Let's quote a little bit here from your article, and you quote the State Department's announcement: "Protesters in Iran were detained without formal charges brought against them, and during this detention, they were subjected to beatings, solitary confinement, and a denial of due process rights at the hands of intelligence officers," and it names the Minister of Intelligence. "In addition, political figures were coerced into making false confessions under unbearable interrogations, which included torture, abuse, blackmail, and the threatening of family members. And we are guilty of every one of those allegations."
Oh, every one.
On a grand scale. And the number of people in Iran pales in comparison to the people who were detained without charge and subjected to beatings and solitary confinement at Guantanamo.
Right.
Our mutual colleague, Andy Worthington, has done an incredible job of detailing the individuals held at Guantanamo, and he concludes that somewhere more than 2/3 of them are just totally innocent people who were turned in for the bounty payments, turned in to settle scores in other parts of the world, and that many of them got the torture taxi ride and were subjected to abuse in third countries. And all of this, as you and I know, is there's obstruction of justice. It's not this idea that we're looking forward. It is a conscious effort to deny any kind of investigation, any kind of redress of these grievances on the part of the people that we did it to. And it is just rank hypocrisy of the grossest nature.
Yes, it absolutely is, and it's going to continue. Look, today, the Supreme Court decided that it was not going to take up the case as to whether or not the National Security Agency had conducted illegal surveillance on Guantanamo lawyers. This administration, the Obama administration, didn't really take a position on it. This is just part of the overall package, of what the administration has been doing with regard to state secrets, interfering with any attempt at accountability. So, even administer accountability.
It's very aggressive.
Absolutely. They're responding to this, Peter, by literally going into courts with, in some cases, with new theories, with new legal theories, with when they went to block the when this administration decided to flip flop, if you will, on the release of torture photos, they didn't just you know, go to the Supreme Court. They then went to Congress and asked Congress to rewrite the freedom of provision in the Freedom of Information Act that would allow the Secretary of Defense to withhold these, you know, photos or images or videos that showed U.S. troops, you know, torturing, abusing Iraq and Afghanistan prisoners. So they're very, very aggressive, and they've gone above and beyond in many, many cases from what the previous administration has done.
Yeah, and let's just tick them off. The Ninth Circuit Court, Binyan Muhammad et al., who got a favorable ruling from a three-judge panel, was then turned into the en banc where every justice on that court reviews it, and they narrowly denied his appeal and killed that case. And let me pause for a moment there because I want to list some of the others, but you pointed out something that I didn't know before we started recording this conversation, Jason.
Right.
And that is that in their denial of the Muhammad et al. Case against Jeppesen Data Plan, the Boeing division that leased the jets and ran the torture taxi program for the government, that the justices said that national security is more important than human rights, but we ought to give him some cash? We ought to pay him off?
They pretty much suggested, yes, absolutely, that because they could not take this case up, because they found it to be, you know, so difficult, at the same time that, you know, they felt that it certainly appeared that, you know, many of these of his claims were true, you know, they thought that there's more or less that the U.S. government owed him some reparations.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how that's going to ultimately unfold if the U.S. government will do that, but you know, to think that hey, here's, you know, here's money for your for the fact that we literally we brutalized you, we tortured you, we cut your genitals open.
And you pointed out earlier, and we need to underscore this, that some people were murdered in U.S. custody.
Some in Afghanistan
and some at Guantanamo, and that has been very clearly established. And in both of those cases, the Obama administration has moved to deny any court proceedings.
They've moved to deny any right of any attempt by anyone to challenge or to sue, to hold accountable individuals who tortured them, and in some cases murdered members of their family. I mean, here's what's amazing, Peter, is that on the same day that the Obama administration, that the president signed this executive order, a U.S. District Court judge said that the family members who represent the three detainees who allegedly committed suicide in June of 2006, she basically said, I have to dismiss the case because, you know, the Obama administration took a very aggressive view last year, more or less stating that, you know, detainees have no right to challenge their detention and their treatment in detention under a provision in the Military Commissions Act, which, by the way, the Military Commissions Act that Obama rejected on the campaign trail and has yet to really make any real substantive changes to. So this happened on the same day that they signed the executive order. But here's what's amazing, Peter, is that the judge actually said, despite the fact that there's actually lots of evidence to suggest these detainees were in fact murdered. So the judge, in her opinion, actually agreed that these were homicides. Now, the Obama administration did not have to take that position. They could have gone to court and said, you know, we do think that maybe this deserves an investigation or rather that this deserves, you know, a hearing. No, they basically took the same approach that the Bush administration has taken. State secrets, you know, is something that, you know, national security would be at risk if the information on this was revealed. So we need to keep this under wraps. And besides, the Military Commissions Act does not allow detainees to, you know, have the right to go to court and challenge, you know, their detention their treatment in detention. And what's funny, Peter, is that, you know, this is just a layer upon layer.
Koyaanisqatsi.
then we have people like Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Colin Powell's former chief of staff, saying that the vast majority of people in Guantanamo who were brought there in the early days were innocent, and the Bush administration, particularly Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and George Bush, knew they were innocent, but for political reasons kept them locked up. So it's a house of cards, Peter. This, to me, is very much like the corporate corruption cases that that I covered years ago. This is truly a house of cards, everything. And the administration, both administrations at this point, were working to make sure that this house of cards remains standing. I think it will eventually come down, come crashing down. But the lengths that this White House have gone to interfere with accountability is stunning. And I think it's very important to note that no one person has done more to interfere with attempts to hold accountable U.S. government officials who were complicit in the torture, murder, abuse of detainees captured in the war on terror, so to speak, the Bush line, than Barack Obama and his administration. No one.
Yeah, it is stunning and very disturbing. Just two quick references. For more on the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling against Binyam Muhammad, I suggest you listen to podcast 178 with 177 with Andy Worthington, and that's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com for another few weeks. And also, if you go into the archives from January of 2010, look for the interview with Scott Horton, Columbia Law professor and a contributor to Harper's Magazine, because he detailed with eyewitness accounts that those three inmates at Guantanamo who were taken out of the main compound in June of 2006 returned the following morning, and all three were dead. And this, it begs investigation, yet the courts have ruled that in deference to the Obama administration that they will not permit these cases to be pursued. And it really is something that we've got to fight back on. And, Jason, we haven't heard a peep from any elected official, even the senators, for example, who are not up for re-election this year, who could decry these legal efforts and the hypocrisy of the Iranian sanctions. They're all lining up in support of this. And the silence from the few lefties that we respect can only be attributed to campaign season. But that's inexcusable because, morality does not take a vacation. Human rights are not scheduled based on election prospects and the election cycle.
Right.
And we have a group of cowards who are supposed to be our leaders, who we put faith and trust in to represent us in our government. And the silence is sickening and stunning.
Yes, it is. And, certainly right now we can attribute it to campaign season. But if that's the case, Peter, then you know what? We're never going to hear anything because, then campaign season was last year as well.
Yeah.
Because they weren't saying anything at that point either. The sergeant who was largely responsible for revealing, the Guantanamo sergeant, for revealing the information behind these, alleged suicides, which is the government's official storyline, Joe Hickman, as Andy indicates in his article, as a matter of fact, on the Ninth Circuit, that he published recently over on his website, he went to the Justice Department, Sergeant Hickman, to basically discuss this. I mean, this is what was in Scott Horton's article, and so no one is investigating it. Not Congress, not the Justice Department. They're just not doing anything.
And Jason, just a little side note: the cover up of these ugly, immoral, illegal actions by our government has reached the point and has been euphemized and mainstreamed that last week on an episode of Jeopardy, one of the questions was the contestants had to say enhanced for the interrogation techniques that were used.
Right.
That was a Jeopardy question.
Yeah.
And, of course, they don't go into any detail about what it all means, but it has become so sanitized and widely accepted that we are a nation of people who are oblivious to our own behavior. And I say our because I'm held responsible by people in other parts of the world, like any other American, for the illegal actions of our government. And this is a stain on all of us, and yet we see passivity in the corridors of power. And even, I hesitate to call out some of these people because I know that Dennis Kucinich and Barbara Lee, the two most principled leftists in the House of Representatives, deplore this.
Right.
But I haven't seen a statement from either one of them. And Russ Feingold is in a political fight for his life in
right.
Wisconsin. So he's only talking about jobs, and his ugly, wealthy opponent.
Right.
And so we have reached a point where the most obvious violations of treaties, of our own laws, and of our own moral standards are just let stand. Is that a phrase? You know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. And I think that, the more that...
Houston, we have a problem.
And now for something completely different.